When you start looking at practices to buy, you're going to need to get a collection of the last 3 to 4 years' profit and loss statements. An obvious thing that you're going to want to do is you're going to want to look at the revenue and see if it has been increasing or decreasing over the past few years. Some people will tell you that you want to buy a practice where the revenue has been increasing. Increasing revenue can be a good sign, but it can also be a bad sign. Some of the best practices I've seen have actually had decreasing revenue over the last few years. My name is Chris. I'm a dentist. I've bought and sold practices, and now I help other dentists buy and sell practices. Today, we're going to look at what are the implications of a practice that has declining revenue, and is this a practice that you should look at buying? And ultimately, the answer is going to be a little bit more complicated than just looking at the revenue. So let's get into it. When you buy a practice, you're spending money up front so that you can have patients up front and have an income right away. The only thing that matters when you buy a dental practice is what is the future revenue of this practice going to look like if I buy it? Nothing else matters. How much money am I going to be able to make if I buy this practice? Because if I'm not going to be making money, why would I spend my money on buying this practice? So I recently had two different practices I was looking at with clients, and they were so far on the spectrum, so different. And I'm going to go through and compare them and show you what kind of insights we found looking at these practices. The first practice was a practice that was growing. At least on the profit and loss statement, it looked like this practice was growing. Over the last 3 to 4 years, this practice had more than doubled in size. It looked like in the past, this practice had done like $500,000 and is now doing like well over $1 million. The practice broker had actually been selling this as a benefit. He was saying, look how fast this practice is growing. It's in a great area of town. It's growing so fast. This is exactly the type of practice you want to buy. And the dentist who was looking at buying this practice said, well, it seems like a good sign that this practice is growing. But once we actually got into the details and figured out why that revenue number was going up, it completely changed my mind on this practice. If you looked at just the profit and loss statements, you would think this might be a decent practice to buy. But once we looked at the production per procedure reports for this practice, there was a completely different story. The reason this practice was growing was because the owner was an extremely high producer. The owner had been doing all sorts of specialty procedures from ortho to perio to advanced implant, all on four cases, sedation, etc. When we looked at the actual foundation of the practice, the hygiene department, it was basically non-existent. We went through and added up all the exams that were done at this practice, the recall exams, the new patient comp exams, and the limited exams. This practice at max had like 250 to 300 active patients. The practice had seen more patients than that, patients that came in for other procedures. But these patients weren't on the hygiene schedule. These patients weren't active patients coming back every 6 months. The majority of the patients at this practice had been either referrals or were there specifically for one of the specialty procedures that was being done by the dentist. This would be a terrible practice. When you buy a practice, your goal is to have as many patients on your schedule as possible. And the way that these patients get on your schedule is because you see them in the hygiene department. The foundation of a dental practice is the hygiene department. I grabbed some of my son's blocks for an illustration. Now imagine that the blue blocks symbolize the hygiene department and the red blocks symbolize the doctor production, and the total height is the practice's revenue. If you come in and buy a practice with a solid hygiene foundation like this, it's easy to add on additional production on top of that schedule. And then now you have a very solid foundation built upon this blue. But now let's say you buy a practice and you say, wow, the doctor has been producing $1.3, $1.4, $1.5 million per year. That's an amazing production. But then once you get into it, you look and you see the hygiene foundation is really small. It's this one little blue block. And so you buy the practice and you're trying to balance this whole production off of this little piece of hygiene. That is not sustainable. And guess what? You're going to crash and you're going to burn, and then you're going to be down worse than when you started. The best possible practice you can find is one where you have a solid hygiene base, but maybe over the last few years, the dentist has been slowing down. Maybe 3 years ago, the production was here, but then they're slowing down. This was last year. You know, this year, the doctor's production is actually pretty low, but guess what? That hygiene base is there. All the patients are still there. Your goal should be to find a practice where the dentist has been doing as little work as possible, but the hygiene department is as big
as possible.
Now, there was another practice I was looking at with a client. This is one where I actually went in person to do a site evaluation with this dentist. In this practice, the revenue had actually been declining over the past few years. 4 or 5 years ago, the dentist had been doing, I think, $800,000 to $900,000 a year, and it's slowly been declining to where this last year had been something like $500,000. Declining revenue. If you're just looking at the profit and loss statement, you might think that's a little bit concerning. But when we got to the practice and actually did an in-person site evaluation of the practice, we found out that this practice didn't even have a working tube head to take radiographs. The seller has literally been diagnosing all of his treatment off of an old PAN machine. We looked at the schedule, and the last few months, the dentist had been doing MODBL fillings day after day and had done almost no crowns. The dentist had been referring out 100% of any type of extraction or any type of ortho or any type of endo. Basically, the seller had not been doing general dentistry, but had just been watching the hygiene department. On the other hand, the hygiene department had a hygienist working full-time and a hygienist working part-time, and both of their schedules were filled. And because the revenue had been declining, the dentist decided he was going to sell this at a lower price. I think my client's going to be able to get this practice for less than $300. I'm not kidding you. I would not be surprised if he walks in and triples the production of this practice within the first 2 or 3 years. There is so much untapped potential at a practice like this where the dentist had been slowing down, but the hygiene department still had patients. He's going to walk in day one with a full hygiene schedule and find so much treatment. There's going to be patients coming back for both their recall exams, but also for limited exams because these large MODBL amalgams that the previous dentist had been doing, they're going to be breaking off, and this dentist is going to be able to put crowns on those. Not only that, but all of those procedures that were being referred out, the extractions, that can all be done in-house. Some of the simple ortho cases, the dentist can do Invisalign. There's so much potential to add onto this practice. So the question was, would I buy a practice with a declining year-over-year revenue? And the answer is absolutely I would, but you're going to need to look at more information. If the hygiene schedule is booked solid, but the production schedule had been slowing down, very good sign. Now, on the other hand, I've also come across practices where, well, there used to be 2 hygienists here 10 years ago, and then 5 years ago, we went down to 1 hygienist, and then just last year, we decided to drop the hygienist because we didn't have enough patients. Now, that would be an example of a practice that has declining revenue that you would want to be very careful about buying. If you're looking at a practice where the dentist had been doing his own hygiene and there's no hygienist in the practice, that is a very, very bad sign. When you take over a practice from the seller, the most important employee at that practice is the hygienist. The hygienist is the one who's been building relationships up with these patients over the last few years. When I bought my practice, there was a hygienist who had been there for 25 years. Having her stay during the transition was incredibly important. The practice that I bought had been taking HMO insurance plans where the reimbursement rates were like extremely low. So I came in day one and I dropped all of those HMO plans and just stuck to cash and PPO plans. If it wasn't for the fact that those patients already had established relationships with that hygienist at the practice, there's absolutely no way they would have stayed. They would have gone and they would have found another dentist that took their insurance. But because those patients wanted to come back and see the hygienist that they've been seeing for the last 10 to 15 years, many of those patients were willing to either pay full price in cash or they went and they signed up for a higher reimbursement insurance plan. You want to do everything you can to make sure that the hygienist at the practice you take over is happy. Right off the bat, if she is making less than market rates, I would give her a raise the first day you come in. Now, if she's already being paid above the average market rate for your area, I wouldn't necessarily do that, but try to find some other way to make sure that you're on her side. One of the first things I would do if I was buying a practice today is I would come in and I would focus on patient retention. When you buy a practice, you just paid a lot of money to have access to these patients, and you want to do everything to make sure that they're scheduled to come back for their next appointment. If you buy the right practice, you shouldn't have to spend any money on marketing, at least for the first few years, because when you bought the practice, that was your money spent on marketing. You now want to make sure that the boat that you just bought doesn't have any holes where patients are leaking out. every single patient needs to be rescheduled for their next appointment before they leave your office. I don't care if the patient says, well, I don't know what my work schedule is going to be like in 6 months. I'll call you back then. Just say, we'll go ahead and schedule you now. And then a week before your appointment, we'll give you a call and make sure that time still works. 80 to 90% of the time, that appointment time's actually going to work just fine. But in the case that it doesn't work out, you just reschedule the patient at that point to a time that does work. But that's going to be a reminder to your front desk to make sure that patient doesn't get lost in the system and forgotten about. Remember that the bigger you get this hygiene base built, the higher you're going to be able to grow production at that practice. Ideally, you want to have a big, solid base of 2,000 to 3,000 hygiene patients so that you have plenty of production. Once you get to the point that you have 2,000 to 3,000 patients in your hygiene system, then you can start to be selective about what types of procedures you enjoy doing and what you want to refer out. When you have 2,000 to 3,000 hygiene patients, if you don't like doing extractions, you don't have to do any extractions ever again. You can refer 100% of those out. If you like doing them, do them. But if you buy a practice that has like 200 to 300 hygiene patients, you're gonna have to do every single procedure you can on those patients. If you look at the production by procedure report, you can look at the number of hygiene appointments, the number of exams, the number of x-rays, and you can calculate a pretty decent idea of what the hygiene base of that practice is looking like. Most dentists are gonna wanna have a minimum of at least 1,000 patients in their hygiene department, but ideally 2,000 to 3,000 per doctor. It's possible to be successful with fewer hygiene patients than that, but it's just gonna mean you're gonna have to work a lot harder at producing on those patients that you have. Sometimes I feel like the doctors that have only 400, 500, 600 patients in their hygiene department, those are the ones that might get trapped into overproducing on patients and doing things that they probably shouldn't be and recommending procedures that probably don't need done. I was lucky enough at the practice that I had, because I had enough patients on my schedule that I was constantly busy with work, I never had to even consider trying to over-treatment plan or recommend something that I didn't feel great about. I only treatment planned the things that I thought were the best case scenario for that patient in that moment. You're gonna make your life so much easier if you buy a practice that has plenty of patients. You're gonna sleep so much better at night. If a patient leaves because they're unhappy with you, when you have 3,000 other patients, you don't care. But if you only have 200 or 300 patients on your schedule, a few patients leaving can be a big part of your production. So the real issue, it's not about avoiding practices because they have a declining revenue or trying to buy practices that have an increasing revenue. The key is you wanna understand the story behind those numbers. Every single procedure that was done represents a patient that chose to have treatment done at that office. Try to figure out why the revenue is increasing or why the revenue is decreasing. That is so much more important than the revenue itself. The key is to find a practice with a large, solid hygiene base, and you are going to set yourself up for success.